Proverbs 31, verse 10. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husbands have full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, in all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed with fine linen and purple. Her husband is greatly respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do not do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate.
Well, evening, everyone. Hope that you keep your Bible open in front of you. And as always, in the bulletin, there's an outline in the centre. Gives you an idea of how we're going to attack it. A is for anemone fish. Known also as the clownfish, they play in seas and frolic and feed among sea anemones. B is for baboon. When a baboon gets cross, he bares his teeth to show his boss. C is for crocodile. The crocodile smiles, but just beneath lies sharp and pointy crocodile teeth. Friends, I'm going to stop there. I think you can see where this is going. I'm reading to you from a book called Wild Animals, ABC, and as you can probably guess, it's a picture book that goes through the alphabet, and for each letter, it gives a little poem about an animal whose name starts with that letter, all the way down to Z is for zebra. A zebra looks a bit like a horse, except for its wonderful stripes, of course. The ABC of wild animals. I borrowed it from the library during the week. I'll take it back this week if you want to get it after me. And I like it for two reasons. I like it because, firstly, I used to be a zoologist, so it sort of taps into my whole interest in animals sort of thing. And I like it, secondly, and more to the point for this evening, I like it because the ABC of wild animals is an example of exactly the same sort of word pattern that is happening in tonight's Bible passage. Now, that's a little hard for us to see because the effect is lost in our English translations. But the Hebrew language that Proverbs was originally written in, each successive verse of tonight's reading actually works its way through a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so, for example, the first verse of our reading tonight, it starts with the Hebrew equivalent of the letter A. The next verse after it, verse 11, begins with the Hebrew equivalent of the letter B. And the pattern continues all the way down to verse 31, which begins with the Hebrew equivalent of the letter Z. And so, quite literally, what we've got tonight is the A to Z of a wife of noble character. Or more accurately, what we've got is the A to Z of the life of a noble character. Because this A to Z word structure, what it's doing is highlighting for us that this closing section of the book is a summary section of the book. What we've got tonight is the A to Z of Proverbs. Because remember last Sunday? Last Sunday we discovered that the last couple of chapters in the book give us different case studies of people who are living out the lessons of the book. And last Sunday, we specifically looked at the case study of Agur. Well, here in the very last section is the ultimate case study, not of a real person, but of an idealized person, a person who perfectly sums up the life lessons of the book, the person who is quite literally the A to Z of Proverbs. All of which is incredibly helpful for teaching us what the passage is not about. Because you see, the opening verse does say the wife of a noble character, and because of that, many people mistakenly restrict this passage in who it's intended for, as if it's only intended for the wives or the potential wives among us. But to take it that way completely misses the point of it, and it runs the risk of misunderstanding the pastoral intention of the passage. And so, for example, if you are a wife here this evening, maybe you are starting to feel a little intimidated as the passage was read. I mean, it starts in verse 10 by telling us how precious this wife of noble character is, far more than rubies. It goes on in verses 11 and 12 to say how she brings nothing but good for her husband. Verses 13 to 20 describe how industrious she is and how she never stops working and being profitable in absolutely everything she does. And then in verses 21 to 29, they go back to describe not just how wonderful she is for her husband, but what a great asset she is to her whole household, how her children arise and call her blessed. When's the last time your kids jumped out of bed and said that? And then the whole thing rounds out by again saying how wonderful she is and how everyone just can't stop talking about how wonderful she is. I mean, seriously? She is so annoyingly good at everything. The only thing she doesn't ever do is sleep. And so wives hearing this read can sort of feel inadequate and think, man, I wish I could manage my life that way. Why do I always feel so tired? And then, of course, the whole thing can be compounded by thoughtless husbands and friends who use a passage like this a bit like a weapon to criticise. GD, you better lift your game. Did you hear the Bible reading tonight? I want to suggest that those sorts of reactions completely misunderstand the role of tonight's passage. Because rather than intimidate us, tonight's passage is meant to enthuse us. All of us. Because this passage is not primarily a description about what a wife should be. This is a description about what life could be for all of us. And it's equally applicable to both men and women, married and single, because what we've got tonight is a summary which ingeniously pulls together all the main threads of the entire book into this idealized picture of a person who just personifies the A to Z of Proverbs. And so when we turn to actually consider what the passage is about, there's a sense in which I've got nothing new to say. It's already been said in the previous 30 chapters, of which this is a summary. And so, for example, when we started this series 6 weeks ago, way back in chapter 1, we noticed that Proverbs described itself as a book about how to live well, and it dropped three important words, wisdom, principle, and discipline, and prudence. Well, here at the end of the book, all three of those ideas are lived out in this wife of noble character. The idea of wisdom, practical knowledge, being able to do what works. That's exactly this wife of noble character. We're told straight out that she's wise in verse 26. She speaks with wisdom. Faithful instruction is on her tongue. It's not just that she speaks it, she lives it. She always knows what is just the right thing to be doing. And so verse 10 tells us that she's worth more than rubies, which is exactly what is said about wisdom back in chapter 3. Because she is wisdom personified. She's also discipline personified. Again, picking up on a key word in those opening few verses of the book. To be disciplined, remember, is not about being disciplined for doing something wrong. It was all about being in control of yourself, being in command of yourself, being able to resist unhelpful desires. And again, that's this lady to a T. Verse 15, she gets up while it's still dark. She provides food for her family. Verse 18, she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. See, from early in the morning till late at night, this wife knows exactly what needs to be done, and she gets in and does it. And she has the self-control and the perseverance and the willpower to do it, because she's not just wisdom personified, she's discipline personified. And as far as having prudence, we remember that was about having an eye for the future. Prudence is about having foresight to be able to make decisions now so as to be most effective for your future goals. Well, verse 21 tells us that when it snows, she has no fear for her household. They're all clothed in scarlet. And verse 25 says that she's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. So here is a person secure in the knowledge that no matter what the future holds, she's got it covered. She's prudence personified. She's discipline personified. Wisdom personified. And if you got the feeling that you've heard all those sorts of ideas before, you have. Because remember, this ending to the book is acting as a summary to the book. And one of the things that was hammered in at me, to me at school about essay writing was that you never, ever introduce a new idea into the summary. Because a summary is, well, it's a summary. It's a summing up of what's already been said. That's tonight's passage. Little wonder that she is a crowning example of a fear of the Lord. Remember, Proverbs has repeatedly laid the foundation that if you want to live well, it needs to be a life that's based on the foundation of a reverent fear of God. Over and over and over, we've been reminded the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, no surprise, verse 30, we're told that this wife of noble character is to be praised because she fears the Lord. Remember also that Proverbs told us that on top of that foundation of fearing God, we need to assemble a framework of obligations that flow directly out of fearing God. Well, again, that's this wife of noble character. Precisely because she fears God, she understands her obligations to be godly herself. And so in verse 11, she always does good, not harm. In verse 25, she's clothed in dignity. In verse 26, she is faithful. And in so many of the verses, you can see that she is other person-centred. That's one of the great things about her, isn't it? That even though she's incredibly hard-working, deals in real estate, manages a vineyard, makes and sells fabric, she's incredibly industrious, but you'd never describe her as a career woman because she's not in it for herself. Everything she's doing, we're told, it's for her family, it's for the servants, it's for the household, it's for the poor, it's for others. That is such a God-like characteristic, because she fears God and therefore she understands her obligation to be like God in the way she behaves. And then on top of that, Proverbs has also given us lots of observations, hasn't it, about the regularities of life, so as to make the best choices possible. Well, again, that is her in this final description. She clearly understands and sees how the world works and acts around that. Verse 14 says she's like a merchant ship. Verse 16 says she considers a field and then buys it. Verse 18 says she sees that her trading is profitable. In other words, here is a person who observes the rhyme and rhythm of the world and then uses those observations so as to not fail at what she puts a hand to. Because this excellent wife of noble character, she's the A to Z of Proverbs, personified. And here's the thing, Proverbs isn't finishing this way to intimidate us or to discourage us. It's finishing this way to motivate us and tantalize us and spur us on to do what Proverbs has been telling us to do. See, a couple of weeks back, Sue and I went to one of our daughters' graduation at uni. And at the ceremony, they had Ida Buttrose as the keynote speaker. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of her, but I sort of had some vague awareness that Ida Butros had done all right for herself, and she'd been the editor of Australian Women's Weekly for a time. But as they introduced her, as they chronicled through the things she'd done, by the time they had read out all her professional achievements and her awards and honours and legacies and public service and charity work, I felt exhausted just listening to it. But at the graduation, they didn't get her to speak so as to make the graduates feel bad about themselves. She wasn't there to sort of go, ha ha ha, sucked in, you're never going to do half as much as this person has. She was there to spur the graduates on. She was there to motivate them to get in and have a go. Who knows what you might do? Who knows what your life might become? That's the intention of the wife of noble character in tonight's passage. And her description brings closure to the book by spurring us on to get in and have a go at actually doing what the book's been telling us to do. So have you. Over the last 6 weeks, as we've been reading it here at church, as we've been studying it in our small groups, have you been a doer of the word or simply a listener of the word? Have you actually changed anything in your life whatsoever as a result of Proverbs? Are you consciously sort of recasting the way you go about your decision making so as to elevate your fear of God, so that you'll strive for those virtues that spring from God's character? Honesty and faithfulness, generosity, other person-centeredness. Have you reflected on how you've been using your words? How you've been using your wealth? Wanting to use both those things wisely? If not, why not? Because this wife of noble character is here to spur us on that if we too fear the Lord and base our life around a framework of what that involves, who knows what you might do? Who knows what your life might become? It's here to motivate us to get in and do what Proverbs has been telling us to do. In fact, as great as that lesson itself is, if you actually add Jesus into the mix, which our great privilege is, this side of the cross in the new covenant, when you add Jesus into the mix for us as Christians, there's a whole new layer of wonderfulness that comes out of this text. Because everything that this fictitious wife is, the real life, historical Jesus, is even more so. And that really makes tonight's passage just pop off the page. It's a bit like when we have Winterfest in here in Bathurst. You know, they put a light display up on the courthouse. Or better still, have you ever been to Vivid down in Sydney? When they get all those buildings like the Opera House and the State Parliament buildings and the Harbour Bridge and all these buildings that are quite beautiful in their own right, but suddenly at night during Vivid, they take on this amazing new dimension because of this extraordinary light display that's projected onto them. That's what Jesus does to tonight's passage. Because tonight's passage, it is beautiful in its own right. It is a beautifully constructed, ingeniously crafted poem that works its way through the Hebrew alphabet so as to give us the A to Z of wisdom, so as to spur us on. But when you shine Jesus onto it, it takes on a whole new layer, not just of inspiration, but of motivation, of encouragement, of assurance, of comfort, Because Jesus isn't a fictitious person. He's a real person. And that floods the passage with a whole new level of excitement. See, think back to the reading and think of this excellent wife of noble character, but this time don't just restrict yourself to being spurred on by her example. This time, think of her as a real person and picture yourself as a member of her household. Imagine being one of her children. Maybe her husband. How great would that be? Because this passage is telling us that being in her household means, verse 11, we get to live with full confidence and lack nothing of value. Being in her household means, verse 12, she will bring us good, not harm, all the days of our life. Being in her household will mean, verse 21, we would be safe and untroubled by what the future holds. And that's us, as followers of Jesus, in his household. Because everything this fictitious wife of noble character is, the real life historical Jesus, the excellent king of noble character, is more so. And so even though tonight is an Old Testament passage, this side of the cross, it actually turns out to be a great one for reminding us of the deep delight and the utter privilege to be in Jesus' New Testament household. Because if I might finish by being bold enough to just tweak the words a little bit of verse 10 and 11 so as to give them a bit of a more New Testament vibe, a king and saviour of noble character, who can find? He is worth far more than rubies. His household has full confidence in him and lacks nothing of value. Friends, he brings us good, not harm, all the days of our life. I'll pray. Father, thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. Thank you for the way that you have lovingly helped us to know how to live well through it. And Father, thank you for the genius of your word and the inspiration of this description at the end of the book. And thank you most of all that in Jesus, the reality of this life exists in a way that we can rejoice in being in his household. Thank you, Father. Amen.